Well, first of all, at the beginning of Mass, I failed to introduce our seminarian who's assigned to Queen of All Saints for the summer, seminarian Matthew Gossin, a native of Rain and of St. Joseph Parish, going into his third year at St. Joseph Seminary near Covington. It was good to have you with us. So everything went well last night, too, for our all-night vigil of adoration. Lots of people signed up for it. Many other people came and just joined in who didn't sign up. It was a wonderful thing. So it makes me think that it might be something good to do more often, maybe every 3 months, every quarter. So something that I'll think about and pray about. But it would be beneficial spiritually, of course, for the parish. Years ago, when Hurricane Rita tore through South Louisiana, Southwest Louisiana especially, my parish in Gaydon had been kind of hard hit by it, like many other places. Lots of trees that had fallen, limbs everywhere. Power was out for several days, over a week, that kind of thing. And you see the kind of destruction that something like that can do. And of course, after the hurricane, you heard all the familiar sounds that take place after a hurricane. Sounds like generators that are running and chainsaws being cranked up to cut everything up. Familiar smells, too, like people cooking outside, barbecuing and whatnot. But then something else happened. There was a whole change in the community. Because the power was out, people were actually outside. And they did something that they don't normally do. That is, talk to each other. TVs weren't on, radios weren't on. People actually did things with each other, for each other, helping one another out, visiting. Life really went to a far slower pace. In fact, somebody made the comment saying, boy, it just feels right. It's like being back in the 1950s all over again. They felt more human about that. And that makes perfect sense. Now, what does that have to do with Corpus Christi? Everything. Absolutely everything. Christ has called us to be united as a people. And sometimes it takes something that seemingly might be bad, like a hurricane, to make us realize, A, our dependence on God, and our interdependence on one another. But that's exactly what the Eucharist teaches, that we are not simply a bunch of individuals, but that we are united in something that is far greater and far deeper than ourselves, that we are united as a people of God in Christ by this sacrament. He didn't realize what he was telling me, but when I met the Baptist minister in Gaydon for the first time, he kind of let it slip and said, well, you know, most of the people in my church probably were Catholic at one time. I just kind of looked at him and said, yeah, I know. But then he said, but there's something about your church, though, that's different from mine. It teaches people to work together. There's like more of a sense of family and communion. I was very proud of that because it's true. That's what the Church of Christ does. It changes everyone into one family, as it should be. So what does Jesus do? He takes bread. Why does he take bread? Well, for most of the known world at that time, and even today for the most part, bread is the thing that keeps people alive. It's the common staple found on tables throughout the world, with exception for South Louisiana, where we have rice instead. But most people need that bread to live. In fact, we even use that terminology in our slang sometimes, that we have to go to work. Why? I've got to earn some bread. I've got to make some dough. What am I going to do with that? Well, you do this to make a living. So bread itself is the symbol of life. It's what keeps us alive physically. So Jesus is going to take this symbol and transform it into his own living presence. As he takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and said, this is my body, which is given up for you. Now the question is why? Why would he do that? The Lord knew that he was going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. He knew that his physical presence would no longer be with us in that way. But he was going to leave his physical presence in a different way so that we wouldn't see him face to face, but he would still be with us, that would draw us into faith in believing that he was there. If you remember the story that we find in the Gospel of St. Luke, the two disciples are leaving Jerusalem, going back to their home in Emmaus, and Jesus, the living Christ, appears to them. And they don't recognize him because, of course, he's risen from the dead and glorified. They invite this stranger to come in with them, but on the way there, he opens up the scriptures to them. Basically, he does a liturgy of the word. But then it's when they come inside the house that the Lord takes the bread and says the blessing, breaks it, and he disappears from their sight. And then they realize who this was. And they said, our hearts were burning within us as he spoke to us on the way. And they came to know him in the breaking of the bread. Sometimes I think that because we're so used to coming to Mass Sunday after Sunday, for some people even every day, the routine kind of maybe makes us fail to grasp the full meaning, or we kind of lose the full meaning, because we've been doing this really since we were 7 years old. But to kind of think about what's happening and who we're receiving and why. Again, why did Jesus do it? You know, this feast day is one of a succession of several things we've been celebrating since Holy Week. From Easter, as we remembered the Passion, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, and of course on Holy Thursday, the fact that Jesus is there at the Last Supper with his apostles, celebrating the ancient Passover by which the Jewish people recall their freedom from slavery in Egypt, going to the Holy Land. And what did God command them to do? To sacrifice a lamb, to put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their houses that the angel of death would pass over, and to consume the lamb with unleavened bread as their food for the journey from slavery to freedom, from darkness to light, from captivity to salvation. That's what Christ does. No longer do we celebrate the old Passover, but the new, that Christ himself becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and at that Last Supper, that Passover, he takes the bread and says, this is my body, eat it. This is my blood, drink of it. And as often as you do this in memory of me. As I said, the Lord would physically ascend to heaven on the Ascension. On Pentecost, he sends us the Holy Spirit to draw the church together, but it's that same Spirit given at Pentecost that transforms the bread and wine through the action of the priest into the presence of Christ. We celebrated Trinity Sunday last week in the fact that God himself is a unity of persons, and they were drawn into the unity of the Trinity by the Holy Spirit. But then today we celebrate the fact that Christ gives us his very self, that we could become one with him and he one with us, that he would remain in us and we would him with him, and that he would raise us on the last day. This is divine union, divine communion, that we could form a community. All these words sound similar, and they should. It's all for the same purpose, to be united to Christ, united to the Father through Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit and the sacraments, united to one another. Divine union, divine communion, to form a community. Sadly, we live in a very fragmented world. It's a broken and fragmented community, a divided and fragmented nation, a divided, broken, and fragmented world that we live in. And why? The world falls apart quite simply because we as human beings love to emphasize the self, the individual self. Apart from God, apart from everybody else, we want to do our own thing and be our own person. And so we have this love for self. We're always seeking self-gratification. We always want to manifest our own self-will. We have thousands of books written for self-help. We want to be self-determined, self with everything. And this is why families fall apart, communities fall apart, why marriages fail, why there's a lack of vocations to priesthood and religious life. Because people simply want to live for themselves and no one else. So this is why the world is as it is, why we fuss, why we fight, why we argue, why we lie, why we cheat, why we steal, and even why we kill. It's all because of selfishness. Why do even entire nations go to war? It's because one nation wants something that the other one has. It wants to say, this is mine. We're like a bunch of two-year-olds running around who always say no, no, no to everything that they're told, and they think that everything is theirs. They grab everything and say, mine, and don't want to share anything. Just like Adam and Eve. That's the original sin. They said no to God, and they said mine to the forbidden fruit. And because of that, we do the same thing. We continue to say no to Christ. We continue to say no to one another. We continue to say no to God's will. and we seek only ourselves. We claim everything. We claim everyone that's given to us by God for our own to do with as we see fit, when we should be seeing everyone and everything given to us by God as a gift to do with as God sees fit, not ourselves. We're made in the image and likeness of the Holy Trinity. None of us is created for selfish individualism. No person, no human being is an island. We need Christ. We need one another. We must love Christ, and we must love one another. We are created for, we are called to communion. Not mere polite fellowship, going around offering superficial pleasantries and niceties, but something far more substantial. To see, to respect, and to love Christ present in ourselves and in one another. It's to see, to respect, and to love Christ who is present in ourselves and present in one another. When you and I approach this altar to receive the body and blood of the Lord, we're presenting ourselves to receive the Eucharist, and we say that we accept this truth, that we accept Christ present in the sacrament, that we see, respect, and love him there, that we see, respect, and love him in ourselves, that we see and love and respect him in one another. We accept this truth, and we commit ourselves to living it with our whole being, strengthened by the grace given to us in this great sacrament. Our brothers and sisters, the Eucharist is no mere symbol. The Lord Jesus said, "My flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" It was abhorrent to them. You don't eat anything like that. You don't drink the blood of anything. Genesis says very clearly that in the blood is the life. To consume the blood of anything is to cause union between you and that animal. But Jesus says, "Do this in memory of me." This is reality. This is Jesus, and he gives himself to those who truly are willing to give themselves to him. We receive his presence so that we can become his presence, becoming changed ourselves, just as the bread and wine are changed, something that we cannot do on our own. So be aware of what you are doing. Be aware of who you are receiving and why. It's to humbly become like him who humbled himself to become like us, to reject the emptiness of sin and to live in the fullness of life. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. The bread that Christ gives is his flesh for the life of the world. Just as a hurricane can destroy a community, it's only through love that the community can be rebuilt. And so it is that sin has come to destroy our world, but it's only by love that this world can be rebuilt. The love of Christ on the cross, the love that we have by being one with him and one another through this sacrament. May we come to recognize him in the breaking of this bread, and with hearts burning with love, never cease to live in divine communion with God and with neighbor, that we may be one body, the body of Christ.